So we've been in the middle of a worship series all through Lent, and we've been having these small group Bible studies that many of you are involved with, and we've been tracking all through the Gospel of John. It's been a really rich experience. I have loved my Wednesday night group, where we've had a chance to dig into the scriptures and where we've had a wonderful conversation. And this past week, we moved on to the farewell discourse of Jesus, and these are important last words of Jesus. And so we started with an exercise, and I introduced the group to a book that I first learned about in 2008. It came out. It's called Not Quite What I Was Planning. Not Quite What I Was Planning. What these were six-word memoirs. If you could write your life story in six words, how would you write it? That's what the editors of Smith Magazine, it's a writer's magazine, put before their readers, and they got both sort of famous people, authors, to contribute to this, and they got everyday people like you and me to contribute to that. And there was a wonderful book that grew out of that. Some of the sayings that came out were poignant, some were funny, and all sort of make you think. And I'll post this link on my Hubworthy page later this week if you want to know a little bit more. Let me give you an example. So some of them are like this. Some are love stories. He saw her, that sealed it. That's how they encapsulate their life. Some of you may fit this other category, adult with a lowercase a. How many of you are adults, but sorta, a little more playful? Paula Deans, who contributed to the book, might as well eat that cookie. And I'm sure there's a lot of butter in it. Or this one, you want to know the rest of the story, don't you? Beginning so beautiful, ending so tragic. What was that life story like? What was in that life? Or how about this one? Made my own kind of music. That's Chris Dillard's, I think. I'm pretty sure he makes his own kind of music wherever he goes. Whether or not he's singing or playing, he's making his own kind of music. But that would be true of anybody who's got creative spirit and sort of making their music in the world. It doesn't have to just be in singing or playing. It can be lots of ways of making music in God's world. Or how about this one? Still waiting on that perfect wave, which is either about longing or not being satisfied or hope on the horizon, right? That hope is on the horizon. So a lot of different ways to read that. I'd love to talk to that person. Or how about this one from a child? Fall often, always get back up. Binoculars down, enjoying the big picture. So many of us focus in on the little things and get caught up in the little things, and we miss the big picture that God is placing before us. Binoculars down, enjoying the big picture. And we in the church know this story. Once was lost, now am found. So we had our class do that. I asked people, I've done this a number of times, and the most recent time was this Wednesday, and I asked people, we spent about 10 minutes writing our own six-word memoirs and then talking about them a little bit. How would you like to encapsulate your life if you only had so many words and looking back and retrospectively at your life? How would you describe your life? The reason we started with that exercise is because, as I mentioned, we are focusing on John 13 to 17, five chapters in the book of John that are given over to the farewell message that Jesus has for his disciples. Now think about that for a second. The whole Gospel of John is only 21 chapters long, and five of the chapters are given over to this last farewell that Jesus does with his disciples, which tells me we better pay attention. John is trying to say these are really important things that not only did Jesus want his disciples to know, but that we as followers of Jesus now through all time and all places ought to pay attention to. And so starting in chapter 13, whereas the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, focus on the Last Supper, like we'll be doing today, the breaking of the bread and the giving of the cup at that last table with Jesus, in John's gospel, the focus is on what happens after the supper, when Jesus gets down on his hands and his knees and he washes his disciples' feet. And he says, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet too. The message of servanthood, which Jesus was preaching over and over, and especially at the end of his life, If you're my followers, you will serve one another. Or John 14, those famous words, we know them well. I read them yesterday at this memorial service for little 4-year-old Lainey. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus is talking about the fact that while he'll be separated from the disciples, he is going ahead of them to prepare a place for them, that Jesus' love is stronger than death. It goes beyond death. This life in Christ doesn't end even when we take our last breath. And then on to John chapter 16, where Jesus again says, I must go away. I still have many things to say to you. I will see you again. I have conquered the world. Do not be afraid. I have conquered the world. Or in John 17, that famous prayer that Jesus prays for the disciples, the prayer that the church needs to hear again and again, that we might be one. Jesus knew too well that once he was gone and he was no longer the center to hold things together, it would be really easy to split off into this group and this group and this group and this group and to bicker and to fight and to be faction, you know, create factions. He said, my prayer is that you might be one in my love. And then right in the middle of that is John 15, where we read that text this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. Abide in me. If you're paying attention, abide was read 11 times in the span of 7 verses. So Jesus must be pretty serious about this abiding stuff. This remaining in him, this being connected to him, I and the Father, I'm abiding in the Father, and the Father's abiding in me, and you abide in my love, and you abide in my love if you keep my commandments. It's all about this relationship with Jesus, this interweaving of our lives, living in that love. Whenever I hear this text, I am taken back to Young Life Camp, my 10th grade summer. Now, I was real active in my church youth group growing up. That was my primary spiritual base, if you will. I went there every Sunday night at Jarrettown United Methodist Church outside of Philadelphia, where I was growing up. But I also went to the Young Life Club on some Thursday nights and to their Bible study once in a while on Monday nights. I'm convinced they were trying to save me because they weren't sure the Methodists had done too good a job with my soul yet. But anyway, be that as it may. I had a nice relationship with Young Life, but I wasn't as fully invested there. But early that summer, they had a cancellation for one of the camps that they were taking kids to up at Saranac Lake in New York. And they called me like 3 days before, and they were going to have to pay for the spot anyway, and they asked if I wanted to go. I didn't have to pay a dime. I could just show up, pack, and have a great week away at this Christian camp, and you know, lots of activities, lots of fun stuff. And I've said, sure, I'd love to go. My parents said it was a great idea. So off I went. And I remember a lot of things about that week. One of them I remember is they had this giant slide. I couldn't find a picture of it. This, I said at the earlier service, this looks like the OSHA approved slide that they have to have now. But the slide that I remember was this giant metal slide that was about twice as long as those, came from a higher height and went right down the lake. Now, as a 10th grader, I was pretty fearless when it came to sporting events, but not when it came to heights. And so it took every bit of courage for me to get all the way up to the top of that thing and go down that slide. But I did it a couple times that week, and I remember that well. I remember the feel of the water, hitting that water with that splash. I also remember, you see the parasailing there to the right, there was parasailing, and you got to do that in groups. So one group would go on Monday, and the next group would go on Tuesday and Wednesday. I was in the Thursday group. I was not looking forward to the parasailing because the parasailing took you even higher in the air than that slide. And so I don't know if it was the grace of God or what, but on Thursday the boat broke down. I never got to go parasailing. Now, I could do it now, and actually I think I would enjoy it now. I sort of have outgrown my fear of heights, but back in that day it was a little scary. The other thing I remember is about I fell in love twice that week. You know how young hearts are sort of fickle. Sort of thought I was falling in love with one girl at the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week was in love with another girl and came home with a camp romance, a long distance. Have anyone ever have a camp romance here in the congregation? So came home from camp with a girlfriend in Reading, Pennsylvania. Who knew? The other thing I remember is this verse. Because at Bible study, the first day of the week, we were told that this was going to be the verse that we were to memorize. And this was going to be the verse that we were to sort of live in and study and try to figure out what it meant. John 15. And so I learned it slightly differently than the way you have it up there or the way we had it read. I am the vine, you are the branches. It is the person who shares my life and whose life that I share that proves fruitful. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. I memorized that verse and I fed on that verse and I took that verse home with me too. My faith was already important to me at this point, but it became an anchor verse that I carried with me as I considered my own relationship with Jesus. What it said to me was that if I was going to do anything with my life of purpose, if I was going to do anything in my life that would bear fruit, I better stay connected to this Jesus. I better keep my life abiding in him, remaining in him, staying close to the vine that could give me life. And I've never forgotten those words, and those words continued to anchor me through college as I was sorting things out and on the seminary, and all through my ministry, I figured that if I can do this one thing, if I can stay close to the vine that gives me life, then maybe I'll be in a place where God's love can flow through me too. Now, that takes a lot of different forms, doesn't it? It means coming to church like you are today. It means connecting yourself to a community. It means reading your Bible. It means praying. That's how all of those things are in part how we stay close to this vine and stay connected to the source of our lives. It means having a life that is deep inside of us, that flows out of us, that comes from God. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the popular Vineyard Vine brand that is out there. My nephew and niece, I'm sure, are keeping them in business. They have a closet full of the stuff. It's kind of preppy. It's popular on college campuses, and it's Vineyard Vines came out of Martha's Vineyard, I think. And with Vineyard Vines, it's all about the look, right? It's all about having a particular look and looking good. But Jesus, the original Vineyard Vine, says, no. It's about pouring God's goodness into the world. It's about letting this life flow through you and out of you so others might see what it means to abide in love. If you want to know what it means to abide in love, Jesus says, pay attention to these things I've been teaching you in this farewell, that you love and you serve each other and you stay connected to each other. I love how one biblical writer put it this week in my preparation. He said, vines are kind of messy, right? Vines sort of grow and they tangle and they go all over the place. He says, this passage is telling us that our lives are all tangled together with Jesus and with other believers. It's sort of messy along the way, but I wouldn't have my life any other way. To be tangled up in Jesus. Part of that life, as I said, is lived out in the community of faith. It's lived out alongside of others. It's lived out in church. But I'm convinced that most of this life in Jesus, most of our abiding in Jesus, most of our staying close to Jesus, takes us outside of the church. Takes us to places where Jesus went. You know, the kind of people that Jesus hung out with. The kind of people on the edges and the people who were hurting and the people who were broken and whoever needed him. If we're going to be his followers and living in this vine, connected to this vine, then we're going to find ourselves out in maybe some uncomfortable places. Some places where we are called to love and serve and push, where we would not choose to go ourselves. And the reason we can go there, and the reason we have anything to offer, is not because we're cool or special. It's because there's this life that goes deep from the root up through us and flows out of us. It is the life of God. It is the love of God in Christ. I love Mother Teresa, who had this deep sense of that. Over and over, when she was asked to describe her work among the poor, her work among the lepers, her work among the dying, she said over and over, I do this in Jesus, I do this for Jesus, I do this with Jesus. She knew that her life and her compassion flowed not just from her goodness, but from God's goodness. And she reminded us again and again that not all of us can do great things, but all of us can do great things, small things with great love. Small things with great love. And that's what it means to abide in Jesus. Now, at the very end of this passage, we didn't quite get there with our reading today. I want to close by taking us a couple verses farther. After Jesus has made it clear it's important to stay connected, to stay entangled with his life, to stay close to him, he says this: "As the Father loved you, I too have loved you. This is my commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." Isn't that amazing? Jesus calls us friends, the ones who are living off the vine, these scraggly branches out there in the world. Us, we are Jesus' friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because servants don't know what their masters are doing. Instead, I call you friends. I call you friends." So I've been rethinking my 6-word memoir, what it would be this week in light of this text. I've written this many times at different points in my life, even wrote one the other night. But maybe if my 6-word memoir read something like this: loved like crazy, friend of Jesus. Maybe it would mean that 15-year-old boy really took those words to heart. And maybe if they could say the same about you, people would know that your life is connected to the vine. Amen.